The Spirit and the church cry out, "Come, Lord Jesus, come." Nothing slows down a day as profoundly as an unexpected locked door. I can remember from my own life experience an occasion when a very significant event for quite a number of people had to be canceled on the spot when no one from the facility that was being used for the event showed up with the key to let anybody in. I also remember hearing not that long ago of the plight of a group of people that were present in a building they were unfamiliar with, and unexpectedly, as they made their way into the area they were planning on being, the door locked behind them, and they found themselves with no way out and nothing to do for more than 3 hours. Not a pleasant experience. One of the coldest shivers that has ever worked its way down my spine was hearing the large door slam and lock behind someone I had accompanied to begin their time of incarceration. A locked door can be and is most often intended to be an insurmountable obstacle. So, if you have ever had the opportunity to be the hero of the moment by showing up with the key that everybody is eagerly waiting for, you know what a profound difference it can make in a day, in an event, in someone's life, when the right person shows up with the right key for the right lock and the day is saved. So it fascinates me in the work that I do that in portions of the New Testament, it's made clear more than one place of the importance of the keys as Jesus refers to them in the gospel lesson. Refers to them as the keys of the kingdom. Those of us who have spent a lot of time thinking about and working in the catechism recognize the keys that speak first to the issues of unrepentance, a refusal to acknowledge God's will in our lives that leads to the locking of heaven against the hopes of those who wish to be there if they will not listen to what God has to say to them. But also that profound joy in the balance of those who get to speak God's love, His forgiveness, His open door policy for all who repent, are contrite, are experiencing the complete forgiveness and peace with God that He intends through His Son, Jesus Christ. What a profound responsibility it is. Certainly not to be taken lightly. You and I have a knowledge of a Savior who lived and died and rose again for the payment of all human sin. And in that knowledge, you and I have a very certain, clear, and undeniable key to the eternal promises of God, to His eternal presence. And we aren't just encouraged, but are actually commanded in the Word to use that key, those keys, on a daily basis. The world in which we live and the world with which we struggle on a daily basis is well known for its ability to take and make complicated and confusing even the simplest of realities. Ask random people over the course of a day, wherever you go, how they believe that human beings can become right with God and welcome in His presence forever, and you will get as many answers likely as you've asked the question. But logically, and what is usually the natural human opinion, on average, amongst all those people, you will find the answer to be a process of earning something from God. And when you follow up and ask, how do you know and what is it that you earn? How do you go about it? Most likely, it will be complicated. It will be fraught with uncertainty. And it's simply just not what the Scriptures speak to us. The God of creation, the God of the Word of which we hear tonight, speaks very clearly, very simply, very specifically about a key that unlocks and opens wide our heavenly home. The very first time that key is mentioned in the Scriptures is the very day that Adam and Eve broke their relationship with God and broke their relationship with each other and brought the reality of death upon themselves and upon every one of their human descendants. In that same day, before nightfall, the Creator God, who also showed himself immediately to be the Savior God, speaks to them of one of those descendants who would come into the world for the very purpose of unlocking the gate to heaven for them, giving them access to the eternal presence of God, renewing the fellowship that they had violated, undoing the curse they had brought upon themselves. The promises and the prophecies regarding that eternal life-giving plan were extremely consistently recorded over thousands of years. You can review every single one of them in the Old Testament. And then you and I turn to the New Testament, and in the Gospels, in the epistle lessons of the apostles, even in the prophecy of vision, such as is given to the Apostle John in the verses we're about to read, we see the prophetic vision, a consistent clarity of one central key truth. This Jesus Christ, known as Jesus of Nazareth, born in Bethlehem, is the singular human individual in history who fulfills every promise and prophecy and alone can offer any hope of life with God forever. We have used the poetic expressions of the ancient hymn, O Come, Emmanuel, this Advent season to focus our meditation, our prayers, and our praise on the simple truths of the season. These truths make us certain as to why we observe and why we celebrate annually that moment of the arrival of our brother Jesus, God himself, being born into our world as one of us. And today, this evening, we acknowledge the key of David and echo the ancient poet's words, O come, O key of David, open wide our heavenly home. A descendant of David, born in David's town, is clearly identified in the Scriptures as the key element to every reality of our existence now and the blessed eternal existence promised in God's timeless word that our hearts, our minds, our souls long for, long to know in full. So our Wednesday Advent devotions have deliberately been very straightforward and focused on the simple truths so as not to distract us from whom we are preparing for and what his arrival means for us. Whether that Advent focus be on the first arrival at Bethlehem in the manger, or whether that be on the final arrival of Jesus, when he leads us through the end things of this universe and welcomes us into the presence of his eternal realities, his peace, the fulfillment that he has offered us. There is one extremely simple directive to follow throughout this season. Keep your thoughts, keep your heart, keep your intense interest focused on Jesus, for he is the key to everything. He always has been. He always will be. But what an amazing and profound reality it is for you and me that this familiar reality of Jesus in the manger, Jesus traveling to Egypt, Jesus returning to be raised in Nazareth, Jesus growing up, beginning his ministry, doing his miracles, preaching his message, all the way along showing himself to be the key of David, opening wide our heavenly home. That these are realities and truths that are so common to us as Christians, accustomed to our thought, that we take them for granted. It's especially at this time of the year. When we focus on the basics, we focus on the key with prayers and meditation that the Lord will not only reinforce in us these truths and grow our trust, our reliance on them, but that he will use this special time of the year, acknowledged by pretty much everyone as an out of the ordinary time of the year, that he will allow us the blessed opportunity to share these truths with someone else who may not yet know them or not firmly grasp them, so that they, like us, might offer that timeless prayer, O come, O key of David, and open wide for us your heavenly home. We read from the Revelation of St. John. To the messenger of the church in Philadelphia write, the Holy One, the one who is true, the one who has the key of David, the one who opens and no one can shut, and who shuts and no one can open, says this, I know your works. Look, I have set before you an open door which no one can shut. I know that you have little strength, and yet you have kept my word and have not denied my name. Look, I will make those who are from the synagogue of Satan, who say they are Jews and are not but are lying, look, I will make them come and bow down at your feet and make them realize that I have loved you. Because you have kept my word about patient endurance, I will also keep you from the hour of testing, which is about to come over the whole inhabited world to test those who dwell on the earth. I am coming soon. Hold on to what you have so that no one takes your crown. The one who is victorious, I will make a pillar in the temple of my God, and he will never leave it again. I will also write on him the name of my God and the name of the city of my God, the New Jerusalem, which is coming down out of heaven from my God, and my new name. Whoever has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. The word of the Lord.